2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
I'm looking at the clock right now, and about 38 minutes from now, we expect a live news conference out of Wyoming. We anticipate that the coroner there is going to release more information on how Gabby Petito was killed. We know it's a homicide. It came out early on after her body was discovered and said she died by homicide. We just don't know the method that was used to kill her.
So we're going to give a little bit of a little ears warning.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. This conversation, it's going to get detailed. And the reason I think it's important, the reason we're going to talk about some of these grisly details is there is still an individual that is out there. Brian Laundrie, there's a manhunt. People are looking for him. The FBI has been looking for him for a long time. What I want to know is, was this because I think everyone's just assuming he's guilty, right? They call him a person of interest, whatever. But everyone in the country thinks he's guilty. But what kind of guy is out there? Is this just an accident that he's trying to cover up? Or was this something that happened to Gabby that was terrifying?
Kira Hoffelmeyer, of course, here from KSL News Radio, has been in the newsroom. She's the executive producer here, digging into details. Do we have, I hate to call it a preview, but do we have some sort of preemptive information on what the coroner is set to release publicly in the next 35 minutes?
So we will learn what likely exactly the cause of her death was. So we know it's a murder, but that's a really big category, mm-hmm. Right? The Utah State Medical Examiner, who has no affiliation with the Petito case, but just gave us some insight on what happens in autopsies and how they can determine something like this so quickly, basically said in order for them, the Teton County coroner, to say that she was murdered within 2 days of finding the remains, I might add, there had to be a sign of something obvious. So he says that it's basically an assessment of what the body looks like when it's found, and that the body could have been found in varying states of decomposition, so that complicates an autopsy report and determining a cause of death. But there's no way you would have had a toxicology report back. There's no way you would have had x-rays back.
In that amount of time.
Okay. And basically, there had to be something obvious. So here's maybe where we're getting into a little bit of a sensitive description. The Utah State Medical Examiner says that if, for example, a body was found bound and gagged, that's very clearly
obvious.
And why they could say, we know it was homicide.
Right.
We don't know exactly how she died. What did that did that act happen after she was killed?
Right. And it could be, there could be an obvious wound on the body. The chief medical examiner told us there could be, for example, a gunshot wound to the head, but that could also happen after death. So we'll find out exactly what happened to her.
All right.
I think about this, and this story has obviously captivated the nation. People are so interested, but I think that the fact that the suspect, the person of interest, whatever, Brian Laundrie, the fact that he's still missing, he may still be out there, I think is what makes it kind of terrifying, because if this was a premeditated homicide, if there are signs of that, then all of a sudden we have obviously a different way of looking at this person, that it's maybe an immediate danger.
We know that the FBI is still on the case, and they have been searching. They were back in that reserve area, or have been. I don't know if they're back there today again, Kira, but what can you tell us about the search for this, let's be clear, person of interest, Brian Laundry, in the investigation of the death of Gabby Petito?
Yeah, just to reiterate that, all Brian Laundry is wanted for at this point is some bank card fraud.
Correct.
So we only know he's a person of interest. They want to talk to him. And, you know, it feels like he disappeared a little bit. They've been searching the Carlton Nature Reserve, not very far from the Laundry home. They took Chris Laundry, Brian's dad, over there the other day to help point out some places that they camped in there that he could be. We also know that his parents went camping about an hour away from their home at the beginning of the month, around September 6th. So there's all of these different legitimate investigations happening. The FBI has been pretty quiet. Northport Police, the local police department where the Laundries live, basically refer you to the FBI Tampa every time you try to ask them a question.
I've watched some interviews with Gabby Petito's family and the family attorney. And I believe they made it very clear that that was Gabby's bank card. Now, the indictment that they handed up from the grand jury, excuse me, that term for some reason escaped me, wasn't clear as to whose card was being used, but it was being used fraudulently. They said that he did not have access to it. But then since then, the family has come out and disclosed that it was Gabby's credit card. So August 30th, last time anybody hears from Gabby via text, she sends some sort of strange text to something like Yosemite, no cell service, something to that effect. Then we see her bank card being used, and then Brian Laundry shows up at his parents' home on September 1st. And that's what we know. I mean, there's a lot of other details, too, regarding what happened before, but that's what we know right now regarding Gabby's death and Brian Petito's, person of interest status.
Well, he shows up in Florida without Gabby on September 1st. They go camping as a family on September 6th. And then Gabby's parents announce that she disappears on, what, September 11th?
Yep.
So you can see there is a huge chunk here where nobody knows where Gabby is. But oddly enough, in the middle of that, this family goes camping.
Well, and don't forget that Brian Laundry went missing just a few days, was reported missing just a few days after Gabby was reported missing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, and he has, there's no sign of him as far as we know.
Kira Hoffemeyer, KSL News Radio's executive producer here at Broadcast House. We're gearing up to take this news conference live. We will be covering it with our full team of reporters and producers here at KSL News Radio. I'm going to be tuned in. The details might be difficult to hear, but I think, as you stated, Dave, it's important that we know.
Yeah. If this was a horrific accident or, you know, I don't know. We know it's a murder. How grisly? I don't know. It's terrible that we're fascinated by this, but we are. Go figure.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.